Picture this, you've just crossed Raipan. You're in the Notam, you're at 90 knots, you're rocking your wings every time you cross the railroad tracks, and you're one of maybe 40 aircraft stacked up in a visual parade that stretches back over the lake. The controller on the Fisk frequency is talking so fast, you have time to process about every third word. Your palms are sweaty, your passenger is gripping the armrest, and then you touch down on runway 27 left, roll out on the grass, and a woman in an orange vest runs up to your wingtip holding two fluorescent wands over her head like she's summoning lightning. And somehow in the middle of the most chaotic, beautiful, overwhelming experience in all of general aviation, you feel like everything is going to be okay. I'm Ramp on Ramp Check, and this is Radio Hangar. Today, I want to talk about the people you never fully appreciate at Oshkosh, the ones who are not flying, the ones who are not presenting, the ones who do not get the trophies or the press coverage or the photo in the magazine. Today, we are talking about the Orange Wands, the volunteer marshallers of AirVenture. And I'm here to tell you that these people are the reason Oshkosh works at all. Today's segment is brought to you by AviationSoul.com, aviation challenge coins for every step of the journey, first solo, private pilot, instrument rating, all the way up. These are the milestones that matter, and Aviation Soul makes coins that do them justice. Every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Okay, let me take you there. It is Monday morning of AirVenture Week. It is 6:45 in the morning, and the dew is still on the grass. Whitman Regional Airport in Oshkosh, Wisconsin is already humming, not because the performers are warming up, not because the vendors are opening. It's because the volunteer marshallers have already reported for their shift, and they are out on the flight line walking their grids, memorizing where yesterday's last row ended, planning their first moves of the day. These are not airport employees. The Experimental Aircraft Association, the EAA runs AirVenture, and the event depends on somewhere between 4,000 and 5,000 volunteers to pull it off. Of those thousands, the marshallers are the ones doing something that looks, from the outside, like controlled chaos, but is actually one of the most precisely choreographed logistical operations in recreational aviation. Think about what they are being asked to do on a peak arrival day at Oshkosh. The airport handles more aircraft operations than O'Hare International Airport. Let me say that again, more aircraft movements than O'Hare. We're talking about a general aviation airport in Wisconsin. The EAA has logged over 10,000 aircraft parked at a single AirVenture, 10,000 on a grass field, parked wingtip to wingtip in neat rows that seem to materialize from nothing because a small army of people in orange vests made it happen. Each marshaller is assigned a section. You've got your Cessnas and Pipers in one area, your home builds over in another, your warbirds and antiques cordoned off where they belong because you do not park a Stearman next to a turbine if you can help it. The ultralight area, the seaplane base, the camping aircraft. Every category has its logic and its own crew. And the wands, oh, the wands, okay. So for the uninitiated, a marshalling wand is basically a plastic baton that lights up fluorescent orange or yellow depending on the crew and the time of day. They're cheap, they're simple. They are the communication device that creates an entire language between the person on the ground and the pilot who cannot hear a word you're saying over their engine. Every pilot knows the basics. Wands crossed overhead means stop. Wands moving in toward each other means keep coming, keep coming. One wand pointing left means turn left. Cutthroat gesture means shut down. You learn this in ground school and then you promptly forget it because you spend most of your flying life at towered airports where someone talks to you. Then you arrive at Oshkosh and suddenly the language is all wands all the time and your fluency is about to be tested. Now, here's what I find fascinating about this. The marshallers at Oshkosh are not air traffic control. They do not have legal authority over you. They are volunteers with wands, and yet pilots follow them almost without exception because the pilots arriving at Oshkosh understand the social contract. You are here because the EAA made this possible, the volunteers made this possible, and your job as a pilot, someone who respects aviation and the culture around it, is to fold yourself into the system and trust the person in the orange vest. I talked to a marshaller named Gary last year. Gary has been doing this for 22 years. 22 years of AirVenture, he lives in Iowa, drives up every summer, sleeps in a tent in the volunteer camping area, and works 8 to 10 hour shifts on the flight line. I asked him why. He laughed. He said, because where else am I going to spend a week watching everything ever built with wings land right in front of me? That is the answer almost every marshaller gives, in some form. They are here because they are aviation people. A lot of them are pilots. Some of them have been flying longer than I've been alive. They take the volunteer job because it gives them total immersion in the 1 week of the year when the whole world of general aviation shows up in one place. Gary told me about the time he marshaled a Lockheed Constellation into its parking spot. Connie, with all four Wright R-3350 radials turning that distinctive triple tail looming over him, prop wash flattening the grass around his feet. He said the sound was physical. He could feel it in his chest. He held those wands up and brought her in, and she stopped exactly on his mark. He said he thought about quitting the next year. He said nothing would ever top that. He is still doing it. The thing that gets me about the volunteer culture at Oshkosh is how seriously people take the craft of it. I do not mean that sardonically. I mean that the good marshallers are genuinely technically skilled at what they do. They know sight lines, they know how to read a pilot's taxi speed and judge whether they're going to overshoot the mark. They know how to position themselves so the pilot can see them even when the sun is at a difficult angle. They know the blast radius of a turboprop and they respect it. And they have to handle every category of pilot skill level. Because AirVenture gets everyone, you get your 2,000-hour bush pilots who could park a Super Cub in a bathtub. You get your low-time private pilots for whom this is the most complex ramp environment they have ever navigated. You get foreign visitors who learn marshalling signals in a different country's system. You get nervous students who taxied their aircraft cross-country for the first time and are absolutely vibrating with anxiety. A good marshaller reads all of that in about 10 seconds and adjusts accordingly. They get lower, they get bigger movements, they make eye contact, they slow everything down, because the last thing anyone needs is a fender bender on the Oshkosh grass, when both airplanes belong to families who saved up for years to make this trip. I want to tell you about another marshaller I met. Her name is Deb. She is 61 years old. She is a licensed airframe and power plant mechanic, and she has been volunteering at AirVenture for 12 years. She originally signed up because her husband was a pilot and she wanted to be involved. Her husband passed away 3 years ago. She is still doing it. She told me that the first year after she lost him was the hardest. She almost didn't come. Then she thought about the fact that he had never missed an AirVenture in 15 years, and she thought someone should be here for both of us. So she went, and she stood out on the grass with her wands in the morning light, and she brought airplanes in. And she said the grief was still there, but it was mixed in with something else, with the sound of props and engines and the smell of avgas and people who speak the language. Her language, the aviation language that she has been living in for 30 years. She said, this is the one place in the world where everyone already speaks your native tongue. I could have cried right there on the ramp. I'm not kidding. That is ramp culture. That is what it actually is at its core. It is not just the hardware. It is not just the pit specials and the DC-3s and the experimental record breakers. It is the people who built their lives around the idea that flight is extraordinary and that the community of people who chase it is worth showing up for, even when it is hard, especially when it is hard. Now, here is something most visitors do not think about. The volunteer marshallers are not just parking airplanes. They are also your first and sometimes only human contact after the intensity of the Fisk arrival. You have just navigated one of the most complicated and high workload approaches in general aviation. You've been in the NOTAM, you've been on frequency, you've been managing your speed and your spacing and your altitude and your anxiety. And then you're on the ground and there is a person right there, looking you in the eye, giving you a thumbs up. That thumbs up matters more than it should. It's a you did it. It's a welcome. It is one pilot or aviation adjacent person recognizing another and saying you made it to the promised land. The EAA trains their volunteer marshallers before the event. There are briefings, there are practice runs, there are specific standards for how the rows should be laid out, how much wingtip clearance is required, how to handle an aircraft that does not stop where you asked it to stop. It is more organized than it looks. It has to be.
But there is also an enormous amount of improvisation in the moment. Because you cannot fully anticipate what any given arrival week is going to look like. You cannot anticipate weather delays that stack everyone up and then release them all at once. You cannot anticipate the vintage biplane pilot who is having trouble taxiing on a soft surface, or the first timer who thought CTAF meant they did not need to listen to the tower frequency during the arrival. You cannot script for every pilot in every aircraft in every state of experience and anxiety. So the marshallers adapt. They signal harder. They move differently. They sometimes just step out in front of an airplane and hold both wands flat, arms outstretched, because sometimes please stop has to be made absolutely unambiguous. I talked to a crew chief, a guy who has been coordinating a section of the flight line for 7 years. He told me the biggest thing they fight is the pilot who is so excited to be at Oshkosh that they stop paying attention to the marshaller. They're looking at the B-17 parked two rows over. They're looking at the crowd line. They're taking it all in.
And meanwhile, someone in an orange vest is doing everything short of jumping on their hood to tell them they are about to roll their wingtip into somebody else's airplane. He said the fix is simple. Before you taxi into the parking area, look at the marshaller, only the marshaller. Let everything else wait. It will still be there when you shut down. I promise it will still be there. And honestly, that is good advice for any ramp environment, not just Oshkosh. The marshalling signals exist for a reason. The person on the ground can see things you cannot see from the cockpit. They have a situational awareness that you simply do not have when you're inside the aircraft. Trust the wands. There's a tradition at Oshkosh among many of the volunteer marshallers. At the end of each shift, when the last aircraft is parked and the evening light is going orange and the field is full and it smells like cut grass and avgas and somebody's barbecue somewhere in the camping area, the crew gathers for a moment. Sometimes it is formal, sometimes it is just people standing around being tired together. And they talk about the day, they talk about the interesting arrivals, the close calls that weren't really that close, the pilot who gave them a giant thumbs up from a Piper Cub with a shaking hand because he was so excited. The grandmother who climbed out of a home-built aerobatic airplane like it was nothing. Gary told me about a kid maybe 10 years old who was in the co-pilot seat of his dad's Mooney. They parked, they shut down, and the kid came running around the front of the airplane and grabbed Gary's hand and shook it and said, "Thank you for being here." 10 years old, already understood the thank you, Gary said. He went back to his tent that night and sat there for a while thinking about that handshake. 22 years of AirVenture, he is never going to stop coming. That is ramp culture. It is accumulated time in a community that shares a love too large to explain to people who are not part of it. It is showing up with your wands at 6:45 in the morning because the airplanes are about to start arriving and somebody has to be there. It is adapting to the student pilot who is overwhelmed and the bush pilot who could park blindfolded. It is standing at the edge of a parking row at the end of a shift and feeling genuinely deeply satisfied that 10,000 airplanes are in for the night.
If you're planning your first air venture, here's my advice. Look at the marshaller, follow the wands. When you shut down before you climb out and run to the Warbird static display, take 2 seconds and give the person who parked you an actual thank you. Not a casual wave, an actual thank you for doing this. They drove from Iowa, they are sleeping in a tent, they have been standing in the sun for 8 hours. They did it because they love this as much as you do. And if you have done AirVenture a dozen times and you have the experience to give back, consider volunteering. The EAA puts the volunteer application on their website every spring. You can sign up for ground crew, marshalling, camping area operations. You will work hard. You will be tired. And on day 3, you will be standing in the grass watching something unbelievable taxi past you with its engine rumbling, and you will think, "I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be." The EAA and their volunteer program are really the backbone of all of this. I pulled details from AirVenture's own published volunteer guides and from conversations on the field. If you want to dig into it, EAA.org is the place to start. You can find us at RadioHangar.com. I'm Ramp. Go follow the wands.